We're going to look at God's word in a moment, so let's just have a brief word of prayer first, then we're going to go to our Bibles. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come to you through Jesus and by the power of your Holy Spirit. We're so thankful, Lord, for leading us to this place, of the words we've received, of the healing we've received this morning, and the healings we are going to continue to see. Based on the prayer this morning. We thank you, Lord, for your word, through your servants, about the river, Lord, and that we are to get in it and get in the flow. So we thank you, Lord. Connecting with your word today, we're so blessed that you put your stamp and seal upon everything. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Lord, let the people see your word and all the instruction and good in it, not the person standing on the platform. Because it can only come in the flesh, not in man. So I thank you, Lord. Have your way amongst us, Lord, in this place. Convict us, Lord. Teach us. Encourage us, Lord, in your word. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to go to your Bibles, we're going to be looking at John chapter 4. I'm going to read quite a chunk of scripture today, but I just couldn't... not read the section I'm going to. You couldn't do it in part. It's such a wonderful account of Jesus' ministry. So we're going to be starting from the beginning of chapter 4. While you're still getting there, of course, the Gospel of John is the Gospel along with all the other Gospels, but we know that it was different because it's not called one of the synoptic Gospels. Matthew, Mark, and Luke were a synoptic Gospel. They were a seeing together. But John... he was, of course, the beloved disciple. He had an extra ministry, and the revelatory content comes out even in his gospel here. He writes it differently than the others. So it's kind of a different way of looking at things in his own way. So as you're there now, John chapter 4, Jesus is continuing his public ministry. And he's now on his way to Galilee. At verse 4 with me then. But he needed to go through Samaria, verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, for I may not thirst, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go tell your husband and come here." The woman answered her and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have well said, 'I have had no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship, for a salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. The woman said to him, I know the Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. And at that point, his disciples came and they marveled or were astonished that he talked with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek or why are you talking with her? The woman then left her water pot, went away into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all the things I ever did. Could this be the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, the disciples urged him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, I have food to eat of which you do not know. Therefore the disciples said to one another, has anyone brought him anything to eat? Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do not say there is still 4 months and then come, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white with harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for which you have not labored. Others have labored and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. Then they said to the woman, now we believe not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Praise God, that the Lord bless his word to us this morning. Quite a big portion of scripture, but I can't get over the passion I have for God's word. And it's a wonderful thing happens when we read together like this in open, which is what it was made for. It is the gospel in itself, that whole account. So it's a beautiful thing. My title today is Being Seen with Jesus, Seeing with Jesus. Being seen with Jesus is seeing with Jesus. You know, Jesus was not concerned who he was seen with, was he? He wasn't concerned who he was seen with. When we're seen with Jesus, we see the same as Jesus. When we identify ourselves with Jesus Christ, our identity is in Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, what I love about this passage of Scripture, and it all, of course, but this meeting of the woman at the well is such an awesome thing. And if we put ourselves back in that day, what I call it is kind of the stealth bomber area of Jesus' ministry, because the stealth bomber is just about to open its payload of bombs and a lot of explosions are going to be going off. There's so much going on, so much levels here. Jesus talks to this woman at the well. Back in that time, men actually didn't talk to women at the well. It was not the done thing. Now, Jesus was a rabbi, and his ministry would have been well known up until now. He had chosen the disciples. He had performed his first miracle, the wedding of Cana. He had cleansed the temple. Word would have got around about that, wouldn't it? They knew who he was, even from a distance. So a rabbi talking at the well with a woman, you could almost see the crowd gathering at the moment, the fingers being pointed, because rabbis actually didn't speak to women in public. It was not the done thing then. And actually, of course, we know that the Samaritans were hated, a hated people by the Jews. And they would go the long way around them to avoid them. And that was a fact. Had no dealings with the Samaritans. And there's many more things, but the last bomb to go off here is that we're told that it's the sixth hour. Now, in Jewish time, that's midday. It's the hottest time of the day. So there's a suggestion there that this woman's going to the well at the hottest time of the day, when really the women didn't draw water then, because we look in Scripture, one in particular verse, Genesis 24:11, actually informs us when women go to the water to well to get water, and it's in the cool of the evening. And of course, it makes sense. Midday, the hottest time of the day, that's a lot of hard work, drawing water from a deep well. So there's an implication there of why is this woman going there? Is she not fit to be with other women? Yet Jesus is talking to her at the well. My first point, and I'm going to make quite a few points, it's very hard to nail this down. My first point is this: what we see with Jesus here is that Jesus didn't see you by your past, he sees you by your potential. Amen? This is so awesome what happens here. This woman, after several failed relationships, her trust level would have been demolished. Her self-worth would have been at ground zero. But Jesus, brick by brick, takes down the wall that she's been building around her. And when he's finished, she leaves transformed. Awesome. Not a bad thing to be seen with Jesus, eh? What a contrast it is when you slip back to chapter 3 and we come to the very well-known famous account of Nicodemus. Now, Nicodemus was a guy who approached Jesus, but in a different way. Now, Nicodemus was a religious man. In fact, he was kind of more than that. You could say he was a Pharisee. Not only that, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, the ruling council. He was an expert in the law, expert in the theology of the day. He went to Jesus by night. He visited Jesus by night because he didn't want to risk being seen with Jesus because of his religious spirit. And we know the account there after John chapter 3 and verse 3, where Jesus tells him of the need to be born again. As that discourse goes on, we see that he still doesn't get it. And Jesus is kind of surprised. He said, "You're a teacher, and you don't get what I'm saying about being born again." But he didn't get it. The religion was in the way. That religious spirit was in the way. And Jesus, in chapter 3 and verse 21, says something very clever as he turns the situation around. And he says this. In 21, he said, "Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light." And what Jesus was doing there very cleverly was using the situation that Nicodemus came to him in the night against his religious spirit that he had. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. And there's so much I want to put out. I just want to bring three things out from there, quick A, B, and C from there that we can ponder on and use. Firstly, Jesus sees potential in you when others don't. You may be in a place where you're not getting any encouragement. You may be in a place where you're struggling. You know, be assured that if you're seen with Jesus, you identify with him, you're going to get what you need, the encouragement you need. See, the religious didn't see what Jesus saw. Okay? And all they could see was, as recorded in Luke 15 and verse 2, as elsewhere, all they said was, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them," didn't they? Well, that's probably the only thing they got right. He did welcome sinners and eat with them. And we can thank God today that he does welcome sinners. Amen? Or else we wouldn't be here. He welcomes sinners and eats with them. They couldn't see what he saw. And what's continuing to be fascinating about this is that this woman that Jesus saw, this woman, this outcast, this woman who in her life, to use the expression, she'd been around the block a bit in her life, this woman who had no social class, this woman who was not fit to draw water with the rest of the women in the cool of the day, this woman, amazingly, was the first person that Jesus introduced himself to outside of the disciples as Messiah. That's a first. The first first. How awesome is that? Amazingly as well, this woman was the first person, the first evangelist in the whole of Samaria. John 4:39 tells us this. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me all that I ever did. You know what? Your testimony is all you need. Your testimony is all you need. I know we prepare to go out in the streets to evangelize. We've had it announced today. You know, you may be concerned about what shall I say, what shall I do? You've never done it before. I urge you to step out and go out and do it, because you've always got your testimony, and that's unique to you. You never have anything that you can't say. She was the first evangelist in the whole of Samaria. Also, what we see from this is Jesus actually doesn't need defending, he just needs introducing. So that's got to encourage you when you step out and evangelize and give that tract out, give that book out. Verse 41 says, and many more believed because of his own word. Why? Because the testimony paved the way, the introduction was made, and many came. They had a two-day evangelistic meeting there after that testimony, because they invited him to stay. Many believed because of his own word. The second main point I want to say is seeing with the Lord is seeing that which others do not see. In other words, you have vision. Amen. Now, our young people are in 1 Samuel today, and they're looking at David and Goliath. When I was looking at that, I went back and I was led to 100 years back from that to the book of Judges, to... So the woman at the well, we've had kind of one water test, and we have another water test in the book of Judges, chapter 7. And we remember this, of course. I'll just read a few verses to jog our memories. You remember Judges chapter 7, Gideon's valiant men? They were also at a well, but... they're on the way to a fight. Do you remember? 32,000 armed soldiers on the way to a fight, fighting a tribe called the Midianites. And this is what God does. And I'm talking about God gives you vision. When you're seen with him, there's a vision that you wouldn't get anywhere else. I'll just remind you by reading from verse 2, a couple of verses of chapter 7. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. So in other words, you know, you and I, we'd be keen to go into battle with 32,000, amen? That would be good. But God is saying, no, with this number, they may think that they actually won the battle, when really it is God. The battle belongs to the Lord. So he continues, verse 3, now therefore, he said to Gideon, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 people returned and 10,000 remained. 22,000, remember, out of fear, turned away. And we know, of course, and especially if you've been in any kind of ministry, you know, that's what happens. When the going gets tough, the tough go shopping. Because when the battles are arrayed against you, the numbers diminish. But again, 10,000, that's looking pretty good. I'd go into battle with 10,000, wouldn't you? That's good. No, not for God. He continues, the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water. And we know about this water test, I'm sure. I will test them for you there. Then it will be that whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, set apart for himself. And a number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink the water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. Wow, that's God. He reduced it. So what happened here was, when a fight is the only way forward, the glory belongs to the Lord, not with 32,000 grumbling, stumbling, moaning, groaning, sick-bay soldiers. You don't take them into battle, but he only took a mere 300. And how many were they fighting against? Well, if you look down to verse 12, then you see that the enemy Midianites were described as locusts. And we know what a plague of locusts is. There are absolutely thousands of them. And their camels, it says also, were as many camels as there is sand on the seashore. So 300 went up to that. Numerous as locusts. So what's the point about vision? What was so special about the 300? They had all got the same kit. They had all travelled the same distance. They were all on the same rations. There was nothing special in the water. You see, when you have a vision that comes from God, from the Lord, and you've spent time with him, and you see as he sees, there's something special that happens. Now, what the difference was that they had eyes to see as the Lord sees. Amen? They had eyes to see as the Lord sees. They drank, and they still stayed alert, while the others, who knelt down and just put their face in the water, couldn't see anything. They stood up, put the water in their hands, and put it to their mouths, and they could still have their vision. The way the 300 drank displayed their attitude of heart. Their attitude of heart. They didn't have their vision obscured. So this leads us on to another point, one of my final points I want to make, one of them, is seeing with Jesus means your personal need is not the priority, your vision is. Seeing with Jesus, your personal need is not the priority, the godly vision you have is. Those who knelt to drink sacrificed their vision to satisfy an immediate need. And when God, this is a good, very, very good point as we look at left and right about us. And if you're visiting today, we're glad you're here. We're blessed by you coming. You might come from a small church, and sometimes you walk in and the numbers are reduced. But I want to say this to you. When God reduces your support, he does so to give you a miraculous victory. Amen? Why? Because it's in his word. He shows us in his word. If you think you're in diminished circumstances, then your victory is just around the corner. Amen? Just coming to an end, wrap this. I may have a bit of time for another two illustrations yet. You know, being seen with Jesus, you're able to see with Jesus. You know, you may have failed in life, and you may actually resonate, may actually tune into what's happened here with this woman at the well. And there may be things that bear resemblance to you. But you know, if you identify with Jesus, you can be seen with Jesus. If you're seen with Jesus, you can leave your situation as she left that well transformed. I've just got a little illustration for you on vision. You see, when you're seen with Jesus, you don't go away the same because you have a vision of your ordained purpose in him. The well in John chapter 4 was actually ties back to Joseph. So I'm going to give a couple of illustrations of two people in Scripture who their heart condition was right and one whose heart condition was wrong. So let's take Joseph. Remember Old Testament Joseph? Old Testament Joseph, we know the story. I choose him because many people know about Joseph and the technicolored coat. So it's a very familiar thing to all. We don't have to have read the Bible to see that. Now, Joseph was a young boy, and he was the favorite, wasn't he? We know what happened. He was the favorite, and he got given a nice special garment by the father, and the brothers were offended by that. Not only that, was Joseph had a vision from God. In the presence of God, he had a vision from God that he actually couldn't understand at the time. But what it was a vision of national leadership. Now, at the time, he said, and he shared it with his brothers, didn't he? He shared it with his brothers. You one day, he went to his older brothers. I love this picture. You one day are going to bow down before me. Everything's going to bow down before me. Not a good thing to say. Now, a lot of people say, well, he was naive. He shouldn't have said that. I tell you what, if I had a vision at that age, I'd be telling everybody. Right? I'd be telling everybody. I'd try. There'd be a book deal and there'd be a film on the way. So you cannot keep that kind of vision in. All right? I wouldn't be able to. His naivety wasn't there. It was in the fact that he didn't understand the depths of evil man could go to. That's where he was naive. So we know what happens, don't we? His brothers plot against him. They want to get rid of him. So they put him in a pit. And they're going to report to their dad that he's been taken by an animal. So he's in the pit. What got him out of that pit? His vision. His anointing. What God spoke to him got out of that pit. You know? You can imagine him in that pit walking round. Or I don't know how big it was. But maybe it was one step. And he'd be probably saying to himself, I may be in a pit, but I'm not going to quit. You know, if you've got a vision from God, if you've spent time with God, then there's no pit that can hold you. There's no pit that you can't get out of, that the enemy tries to put you in. There's no pit, as we've heard today from our sister who prayed, there's no pit of sickness. There's no pit of debt. There's no pit of circumstance. If you are seen with Jesus, and you can see with Jesus, you have the vision to get yourself out of the pit you might be in. What happened then? That wasn't the end, was it? Because he went further on. I'm skimming along very quickly now. He then worked for a guy, and the wife of the guy he worked for, which is a powerful guy, accused him of rape, which was totally wrong, wasn't it? He finds himself in prison. That prison door comes shut, and you would think by now, that's it, that's the end. It's not going to go any further. But he didn't stay in the prison. Because he walked around that prison, he said, I may be in prison, but I'm not going to lose my vision. And you know what? He knew there was no prison could hold him, because what he'd been given by God, he may not have understood it. Now, we don't understand everything, but you know when you've been given something by God, and he got out of that prison. He held on to his vision. Now, where do we see Joseph ending up? Well, I'll tell you where we see him. We see him exactly where God wanted him, as a national leader. Now, the other person, I'll contrast, is Another person I'll pick that we know, very familiar. You don't have to have read the Bible for this. Samson. Yeah? We know Samson? Samson had was given a vision. Again, didn't know what it was for. He was given a great anointing. He had great strength, didn't he? Come on, we've all seen the film. Right? He was given great strength. You know? And I often think, you know, when we go to heaven, we want to see these characters, these people. Yeah, have you ever thought of that? And, you know, you'd like to go and see Samson. I thought, I'd like to see Samson. And we're expecting this guy who's like the Rock. Yeah, he's like got muscles. He's got muscles on his tattoos. I mean, this guy's going to be big, right? And what it'll really be, it'll be Mr. Bean. See, because you see, the back to Judges, 32,000 soldiers, yeah, we'll win the battle. No, our expectations aren't the same as God's. We're expecting to see this big, muscly guy who take out an army of soldiers every day of the week and twice on Sunday with a jawbone, right? And it's actually, that would be God, wouldn't it? It's not a big guy at all. It'd be like Mr. Bean. He'd be going, hello. I'm Samson. And he would say, no, get out of the way, brother. I'm trying to look for Samson, you know. So you go, it's me. Samson, the difference between Samson and his gifting than Joseph is Samson had a sellout price. Joseph didn't. He sold out. Samson's sellout price was a girl called Delilah. Yeah. And again, you know, wanting to go back in history, if you'd like to meet someone, I'd like to meet Delilah. I'd like to go up to her and I'd like to say, why, Delilah? Why? Didn't you see that coming? Though before they, no. But the difference was that he didn't fulfill the vision. Now, what happened to Samson? Well, he had a sellout price. He sold out. And the Philistines got and they took his eyes out. That's significant because he could therefore not have any vision. He took his vision away. Samson was then used as what basically passes as a court jester. They would bring him out and they would poke fun at him and he would be a laughing stock. And in a day, what he would do is he'd be used as an oxen. Just like the job of an oxen, going round in circles, tied to a mill, grinding grain for the enemy. You know? That's what happens if you lose your vision, if you sell out. Right? That's what happened to Samson. Now, where do we see Samson end up? Now, we know how the story evolves. We've seen him, and he's standing up in that temple. It's full of Philistines. He stands between those two pillars, doesn't he? And he pushes those pillars and brings the house down, right? And all, they're killed. And we all give, yay, great, we're all giving high fives. But you know what? That wasn't Samson's calling. That wasn't Samson's calling, because if you read the text, what that was God's grace for Samson, because Samson prayed, give me vengeance for my eyes, for what they've done to me. And he allowed Samson vengeance. He had Samson to get back at the Philistines, and he brought the house down on them. So we saw Joseph end up where God wants him to end up. Where did Samson end up? Well, he ended up with bringing the house down. What was Samson's vision? What was his mission in life? We don't know, because he never arrived. He never arrived. That's the difference. Joseph, you may be here today and you've had a bad start in life. You know, you may have had a bad start in life. Like me, you may have left school with nothing except the hubcaps off the headmaster's car. But being seen with Jesus, he'll give you vision for your life. And you can become anything. Anything's possible. Anything's possible. Joseph had a bad start in life, but he ended up where God wanted him. Samson had a good start in life, but he sold out. And he ended up having his vision taken away. And you know what? He ended up treading grain for the enemy. You and I are not called to tread grain for the enemy. Amen? We're called, each and every one here, to do something. We have an ordained purpose in God. And we have to find it and move in it. Praise God. Let me just conclude. You know, the woman at the well was in a certainly in a different place when the conversation started to when the conversation finished. She left transformed. She left transformed. And you know, that's possible today. I'm just going to say two things. We're going to have the worship group to come back. Please, we're going to sing one more song. If the worship group come back, that'll be great. Bless you. And I just want to ask you out there, I know there's some visitors here today, if you have not come to a place where you've accepted Jesus Christ in your life, you haven't come to a place where you've identified with Jesus, then now's the time to do it. Now's the time to do it. You can come forward and someone will pray for you. I'll just ask for response for this, for salvation today. There's other places in fellowship where there's other prayer points for other things, but just God wants us to concentrate on this. The Lord wants to do something today. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ, you haven't been seen with Jesus, it's time to identify with the Lord Jesus Christ. To, you know why? Because he identified with you over 2,000 years ago by dying for you and me on the cross. He died for your sins and he died for mine. So come forward as we sing, as we're starting now, and you'll be prayed for. The other thing is, those listening at a later, we welcome you. You're listening later on a remote device. You may be in your office, your car, you might be on a park bench. But you know what? This word's for you as well. And we want to bless you with that. So if you want to respond to this also, please get in touch with us here at River of Life Church. Phone us. Get in touch with us on email, any way possible. And someone will speak to you and someone will pray with you. Because you need to be seen with Jesus to see as Jesus sees you. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's so precious to us, and it is indeed, as your scripture says, it's light to us, light to our path. I pray, Lord, I thank you, Lord, in advance that your word has gone forth as good seed and is planted in good soil. Soil that roots will go deep and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And to your glory. And in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.